Greetings in the name of one triune God, respected Abuna Stephanos, Abuna Marcos, and Uncle Vadid, and all my dear friends and families in Christ. My name is Riju. I'm from India again. So it's always a great blessing for me to talk with all of you. From last 1 year, I'm just talking, and not talking to all of you and getting more knowledge, sharing many knowledge to all of you. So it's always a great blessing for me. Today, I'm going to share with you all my understanding towards icon, holy icons. I'm quite inclined toward iconography, orthodox iconography, and there is some special reason behind that. Due to time constraint, we already now 7:49. So I will try my level best to put up my thoughts into words as soon as possible, but let me tell you something very clearly, that it's really hard for me to tell everything about icons in very short time duration, but I will try to explain it as much as possible. So as you can see the slide, the holy icons, and I will be talking about 2 points: understanding icons and secondly, icons for evangelism. So in my whole session, my whole words will be talking about these 2 topics: understanding holy icons and evangelism through icons. Okay, let's understand what is icon. What is icon all about? To give an introduction, icon is an English term which is taken from the Greek word icon, or in Arabic you say iconate, or in Coptic it's icona. So it means a representation, likeness, any image. So iconography in term, generally it's a religious iconography. In all religion there is a kind of iconography, if I say in a secular way. But in Christianity, it is more attached to Orthodox Church. It is an integral part of all the Orthodox Churches, not only Coptic or Indian, but all the Orthodox Churches. Saint Luke is considered to be the first iconographer. Yes, Saint Luke, the one who wrote the Gospel. He is considered to be the first iconographer because he made the first icon of Holy Virgin Mary with Jesus. He made 3 icons in his lifetime. But many churches claim that they have this icon, but no one is sure that which one is that icon. Then, it was thought to have originated in the 1st century AD. Now, this is an amazing fact. Many skeptics and many people who raise questions against iconography or images, they say that your paintings and icons, they came from Roman Empire later on. No. The iconography tradition is as old as the scriptures itself. Why? I will show you some very old pictures. Now, by the end of the 5th century, it was fully practiced in Syria, Asia Minor, and Egypt especially. By the end of 5th century, it started to be fully practiced over here. Now, this is an icon which is showing that Saint Luke is making the icon of Virgin Mary with Jesus. One icon like this. It's depicting the story. Now, this icon is from the Roman catacombs. If you go to the Roman catacombs, you will find very old ancient frescoes. And these are 1st century, 2nd century, or maximum 3rd century old. Now, look at this icon. This is an icon of a fresco of Good Shepherd and Jesus sitting on the throne with Peter and Paul on either side. Then comes, on the above one, you can see this whole catacomb is showing the story of Jonah when he was swallowed by the whale. And the bottom one is showing the 3 young men in the furnace with Son of God also on the right hand side. If you can see, the picture is not that clear. Now, because as I said, it's very hard for me to explain everything about icon in such a short duration. So I collected some questions which are always faced by Orthodox churches or Orthodox Christians, the questions which is raised against Orthodox Christianity. So the first and the most common question is icon a form of idolatry? Why? Because in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 4, it is saying that you shall not make yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the water below. The people who raise this question, they don't read the following law, which says, you shall not bow down to them and worship them, for I, Lord, your God. All the 10 commandments are interrelated to each other. You cannot take it out one and say that, okay, this is the law. No, all the Ten Commandments. We say Ten Commandments. We don't say one commandment, two commandment, three commandment. No, it's Ten Commandments. So this commandment is followed by this another commandment which says that you shall not bow down to them and worship them. For I, the Lord your God. Now, orthodoxy, I have to be very careful when I use this word. Orthodox Church never allows you to pray or worship any icon. I have to be very clear about this thing, because this misunderstanding is there not only among Protestant churches, but also inside the Orthodox churches and in Catholicism. Orthodoxy doesn't allow you to worship any images or any materialistic thing. We don't worship icons, we venerate them. Now, someone will ask me this question, what is veneration? What do you mean by venerating them? I will not be using big theological words or theology of icons. I will use some simple descriptions and illustration to make you all understand. What is veneration? Veneration is a kind of respect. How you respect him? And you know, this is the peak level of respect. How? Let me give you an illustration, a very clear illustration. I left my home about many years ago, and I carry the picture of my parents always with me. So sometimes, you know, while traveling, I miss my mama. So I take my wallet, I take the picture of my mama, I miss her, that's why I kiss her in that picture. But that's not worship, that's veneration. So all form of respect that you're giving to an icon, that's not a worship. That must be veneration, not crossing that limit. I'm not kissing the material, I'm kissing the prototype which is shown in that material. My feeling says that it's my mama, right? So I hope you will be able to understand with this illustration. Now, is there any scriptural support for this? Actually, there are many scriptural support. But I have to make a confession here. I was a huge, although I'm quite inclined toward iconography, but I was a huge skeptic regarding iconography, regarding painting. I was gifted with this, but every time I felt like, why am I making a picture of Mother Mary and Jesus? It is written in the book of Exodus, you should not make it. But when I tried to understand the concept or the teaching of incarnation, when the Word became flesh, when the undescribable God became describable because He loves me, when I understood this simple teaching, I understood that this is my responsibility to describe that word in flesh, that is my Lord Jesus Christ. Incarnation is the base of iconography, because the undescribable God became describable for me. Now, there are many such examples, like in the book of Exodus chapter 26 and 31, it says about in the Old Testament, it tells about the cherubims and the seraphims. They were made in the book, in the Ark of Covenant. There are form of iconography. Actually, in Syria, there is I forgot the name of that synagogue. In that synagogue, the whole synagogue is painted with all the stories of Moses. It's still there. So iconography is not like it is reinvented. It was already there in the Old Testament time. Now, as I said, the Word became flesh. So I try to explain this with these two icons. The Word became flesh through the Virgin Mary and we got Jesus Christ. So now the next question that arises is, why do we need images? Why do we need images? Why do we need icons? People will say, like Protestants or skeptics will say that, okay, you don't worship them, but you venerate them. But what is the need of icons? Why do we need paintings inside the church? Why can't we have just a room like Protestant churches or anyone and just pray it? The reason is not any Orthodox teaching, not any Catholic teaching. The simple reason is the human mind. Human mind always believe in visualization. It always. And I'm going to tell you some illustration and you will believe in that. Because in artistic world we have a phrase called, if you can visualize it, you can materialize it. Whatever you visualize, you try to make it materialistic, or you may try to make it. Why you go in the following slides, you will understand more deeply. Okay, let's imagine in this way. Which is the most favorite novel that you read, all of you? any novel. Let's say Shaq. How many of you read Shaq? Great. Now, Shaq is a novel, or rest of the people can imagine any other novels. When you read the novel, the moment when you are reading, you are imagining everything, you are visualizing the characters, the place and everything. Why? Can't you just stop visualization? No, you cannot. Because the human mind always grabs this thing which is visually appearable. Or even if it's not appearing, even if you read it, you make it in your mind, you visualize it. You know, I'm going to tell you a compliment for all of you. Listen, we are created, this sentence is very deep, okay? Try to understand it. We are created in the image of the Creator. So that's why we also get this quality of creating things. Sa? Okay, in Hindi, in Indian language, one of the Indian languages, that is Malayalam. In Malayalam, the Indian languages are very deep, you know. Even our songs are very deep in Bollywood and all. So in Indian languages, one of the language that describes this part is in this way. Okay, don't laugh, okay, I'm going to say Indian language. It goes like this. Devam manushyane swandam roopa bhavaneil srishtichu. Guys, it's not that bad language, it's such a pleasant language. Okay, thank you. Swandam roopa bhavaneil srishtichu. Roopa and bhavana. Roopa means image. Bhavana means attributes. Attribute. So if I can say that I am created in the image, in the attribute of the Creator, I too get this attribute of creating things. In another sense, if I am created in the attribute of an artist, the supreme artist, that is God, now I am an artist too. No exception. Everyone around the whole world, the whole humankind, human being, they all are artists. Whether they make it on paper or on wood, but they visualize everything in their mind. Is there anyone who don't visualize it? He is not an artist then. Everyone, no exception. They all are artists. Now, another question that arises against Orthodox Christianity or against Orthodox iconography is this. How can we create icon of the Lord God? Because this is a very critical issue. And many people are, even in, you know, when you're going to preach, many people will ask this question. Protestant and even non-Christian people, that how can you create an image of God? Now, let us go for a journey. How about going for a journey? We have a time machine. Now, we are going to travel for a time machine. Is it okay? Would you like to travel? Okay. So, we all went to that time machine and now we are going to the time of Joshua, Old Testament. Okay. So, 1, 2, 3. Okay, right now we are in Old Testament time. Jesus haven't arrived yet. Okay? We are right now in Joshua time. Now listen, if I'm going to tell you the story of Jacob wrestling with God, right now you're in Joshua time, okay? In the Old Testament time. If I'm going to tell you the story of Jacob wrestling with God, or Moses giving the Ten Commandments, God giving the Ten Commandments to Moses, if I'm going to tell you this story, can you imagine or visualize God? Can you visualize His image? His face? Why? You are right now in Old Testament time. This is the reason. If you're going to make an image of God the Father, you will certainly make an error. You will make it wrongly. Because God the Father never described Himself in a human form. But how about if God Himself described Him? You're certainly going to make an image of that in your mind. So this is what exactly St. John the Damascus said. That I am emboldened to depict the invisible God and not as invisible. And read this part. But as He became the visible for our sake, by participation in the flesh and blood, I do not depict the invisible divinity, but I depict God made visible in the flesh. I hope you're getting the point getting the depth of this sentence. Now, understanding icons. Okay, are we worshipping or praying to an icon? This is also one of the issues that is not only raised by Protestant churches, but also there in the Orthodox Church. People ask this question: why you're praying to an image? why you are praying to an image of Mother Mary or any saint or even the icon of Jesus? Why? When you raise this question, you have to understand that we are never allowed to worship an icon. We only venerate them. If to give an illustration for this, let me tell you a story. There was a man. This man was in a battle, in a war. He was fighting a battle. He was really disturbed. He got really frustrated, mentally disturbed, and you know, he was so much hurted that he left the battle and started coming back to the home. Started coming back to his country. This happened in France. When he was coming back, he saw a huge cathedral. This was a ruined cathedral. No one was using it. So when he came back to this cathedral, he heard her voice from that cathedral. So he went inside the cathedral. And when he went inside the cathedral, he saw a huge crucifix icon. Icon of crucifix. Okay? And this name, the name of this cathedral was Saint Damino. So he prayed, because he was very much sad and everything, so he was thinking about many things. He prayed in that cathedral with that icon. With that icon. Today we know that person by the name of Saint Francis of Assisi. I hope you all know him. Sir, you all know him? No? Okay. Saint Francis of Assisi was a Roman Catholic monk in the 12th century. And the point here is, he was praying with that icon, not to an icon. There is a difference. We don't pray to an icon, we pray with an icon. In much more simpler sense, we don't pray to a Bible, we pray with a Bible. There is a difference between both the sentence. If you can understand this difference, everything becomes clear. Now, this is Saint Francis of Assisi, the icon of Saint Francis, with the icon of crucifix. Now, let me take you to another journey. This journey is not that far, it's just few steps from here. That's our Mary Marcos Church. And I'm going to demonstrate something for all of you. I want you all to close your eyes. Please, no exception. Now you are closing your eyes and you are right now in Mary Marcos Church alone. There is no one inside that church. Every single person is alone. And now you started praying. When you started praying, you prayed a lot, prayed about everything, and in the end, you said this beautiful prayer, make us worthy to pray thankfully, Our Father who art in heaven. Now you all can open your eyes. You all prayed this prayer, right? Our Father who art in heaven. Let me ask you one question. There was no one inside that church. Why did you said Our Father? Why didn't you said My Father? There was only you, right? There was no one else. But still you said that prayer in a plural way, not in a singular way. And every time you say the same way. Why? Because in Orthodox Church, we believe in a community of prayer. We believe in a community of believers. It's not always about you and me, it's always about us. So when you were sitting inside that church alone, you were not alone. You were sitting in a community of the saints and all the departed souls. The saints were standing by your side. The departed souls who passed away from you, maybe your friend, maybe your parents, they were standing beside you. And that's why you said this prayer, Our Father who art in heaven and not My Father. Because you are praying in a community. And these saints are depicted on icons. And that's why when you look into this icon, you feel like you are in community with someone. I will give you another illustration. There was an Indian abuna. His name was Father Basil. He was celebrating a liturgy in America. But this liturgy was, inside the church there was no one. There was no one, so he started celebrating the liturgy and during celebrating the liturgy, there was only one diacon. And tell me one thing, there are two abunas here, so tell me one thing. What is the most saddening thing for an abuna during the liturgy? One of the most saddening thing for an abuna during the liturgy. Which makes you sad? Yeah. Yeah, for you during the prayer, when you're celebrating the liturgy. What is the most saddening thing? Okay, there will be many saddening things, so let me take it in this way. I feel that one of the most saddening thing for an abuna when he's celebrating the liturgy is when he is not getting response. So imagine this situation, this Father Basil was celebrating the liturgy, the diakon was busy with something, and he turned around and said, Irini Pase. And we don't say Irini Pase, we say peace be unto you all or any other Indian language. So he turned around and said, Irini Pase. And there must be a response, right? But there was no one to give him the response. So he knew that no one is going to respond. But the moment when he was about to turn back, he saw that there were icons of the church fathers all looking at him. He felt this thing and responding as if they all are saying to thy spirit too. That's the beauty of an icon. Because we in Orthodox Church, we believe in a community of prayer, we believe in a community of believers. So this, you know, this church is depicting you the community of believers. Now we have our family members, right? We keep the pictures of our family members in our home. Why? Because we want to be with our family. Similarly, in our church also, we want to be with our Christian family. That's why we keep our icons. Simple as that. There is no such big complicated things in this. Now, the second thing in this part, community of creation. Now, this is going to be much more, you all will like this part. We all learned in our Sunday school that the Ark of Noah is same like the Orthodox Church as a structure, right? But let me ask you a question. In the Ark of Noah, there was the part of the whole creation inside the Ark. So tell me one thing, where is the part of the creation, the whole creation inside the Orthodox Church? It's a question, okay, I need answer. Yes? Ceiling? A part of the creation, many things, animals and everything. How will you find? There are no animals inside the Orthodox Church, by the way. But how will you find it? Yes, sir. Yes, uncle. Baptism, okay. Icons, you are somewhere near. Yes, more. Okay, imagine a story. I love to speak with stories. That might not be real, but I love to speak with that. Okay, there was a bunch of honeybees. These honeybees were, by the way, there are no people who attended the iconography workshop. I'm amazed that they are not even answering because they know the answer for that question. And there are no one from China team, they know the answer for this question. Okay, imagine, there was some group of honeybees, they were flying, they flew and they were searching for some flowers, a group of honeybees. So they found flowers. They went to that flowers, sucked the nectars, and they came back and they started making a nest, a honeybee nest, okay? And they traveled around, they collected a lot of honey again and again, and finally they made a huge nest. Is she? Then on one day, a man came and he collected the nest, took the honeys from the nest, honey, and collected the wax. With that wax, he made the candle. And that candle is used in our church. The whole creation is helping to be inside that church. So from now onwards, whenever you pray inside the church, you must believe that it's not only us, the whole creation is inside that church. As he said about icons, in icons also we don't make the painting with oil color or acrylic or plastic. We make the icons with the natural colors that we get from the flowers and the sands and the leaves and everything. The real icons that are kept here, they all are made with the natural colors. So this is another beauty. Sorry. Now, I will share some explanation with you how to read some icons, because this is a huge topic. See, for me, Bible and icons both fulfill the same thing for me, because I believe that Bible is a written gospel. Icons are a visual gospels. You getting? To make it much more clear, what is the difference between an icon and painting? Not all books are Bible. Not all books regarding Christianity is Bible. Not all paintings are icon. You getting the difference? Okay. Now, this is how Saint Basil the Great defined it. What the word transmits through the ear, the painting silently shows through the image. And by these two means, mutually accompanying one another, we receive the knowledge of one and the same thing. Saint Basil the Great, Basileus, in the 4th century. Now, there are more quotations. If the icon is shown by the Holy Scripture, then Holy Scripture is shown incontestably clear by the icons. Act of 7th Council. Icons not only teach as do written accounts, but in some instances they are more vivid than the written accounts. Saint Phidias of Constantinople. Now, I want to share with you a video. This video is going to be really good, also in terms of apologetics. So, listen to this. In 1968, an Apollo 8 program was launched to go to the dark side of the moon. So all the astronauts went to the dark side of the moon, and slowly and slowly they started coming to the bright side of the moon. And this was the first time in the human history that man is going to view Earth from the moon. So all the people were waiting on the Earth to receive the message. And when the astronauts came there, when they saw the ultimate beauty of the creation, nothing came to their mind but this. This is going to make you all amazed. What did the astronauts said? Okay. When they saw this ultimate beauty of the creation, for the first time from their own human eyes, for the first time man saw Earth from the moon, nothing came to their mind but the first book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. Now, my question for all of you is this. Who is the greatest artist? Who is the greatest iconographer? Not only in the universe, I don't want to limit him to universe, but who is the greatest iconographer? God himself. Now, imagine that, think about it. God created the whole universe, he demonstrated the whole nature for our sake. He demonstrated in such a level that he demonstrated himself for our sake. He came there and he demonstrated his love on Calvary. Now, everything is precisely designed by this artist. Everything is precisely designed by this artist. So if you're going to ask me about intelligence design, I think this icon is a perfect icon for intelligence design. I call it as an icon of intelligence design. You can see the God himself precisely, perfectly designing the whole universe. Getting? Famasi? Right. Now I'm going to explain to you one of my most beautiful icons. Not mine, but I love this icon. This is the icon of Theotokos of Vladimir. I'm going to tell you a story with this icon. Listen very carefully. And I can promise that you will never ever forget this story, because you're going to visualize it. You can see that Mother Mary is looking at you. Right? Mother Mary is looking at you. Is there anyone who feels like Mother Mary is not looking at him or her? Mother Mary is looking at everyone. Jesus is looking at Mother Mary. And with her hands, Mother Mary is pointing out Jesus. Now listen this story. Mother Mary is listening to your prayers, your petitions, your intercessory prayers, all of yours. Jesus is listening to Mother Mary and what all prayers that you told Mother Mary. And with her hands, Mother Mary is telling you that the ultimate solution for your issues, your problem, is my son. Beautiful? Gemilavi? Thank you. Now, another icon. This is also one of my favorite, and coincidentally or fortunately, this is in Mount Sinai, St. Catherine's Monastery. This icon's name is Christ the Pantocrator, Mount Sinai. Now, you can see that there are two kind of faces in this picture. Some misunderstanding is there that the people say that this describes the two nature of Christ. As an iconographer, I have to make this point clear. You cannot describe the two nature of Christ in one icon. Because if you're going to describe two natures of Christ in one icon, then you're saying the ultimately same thing. There is no two different nature because you're describing him in one. This part is not describing two nature, but describing you another meaning. Let me tell you the meaning. When you're going to hide one side of this icon, you will see a merciful face of God. This icon is for those this face is for those people who repents, who will not be condemned, and God will be good with them and righteous on that day. That day means the judgment day. But when you go in to hide the other part of this icon, you will say, see a wrathful face of the God. This face is for those who will be condemned on the second judgment. Christ the Pentecostal icon, we use it to describe the second judgment, the second coming of Jesus. Now, what if someone, a skeptic, asks you a question? Why would God send His only Son to be wounded for us? You will be giving a lot of apologetics answer. You know, I was thinking about this answer some weeks ago, so I made this sketch. Is the answer clearly described in this one? You can see the five wounds of Jesus and how He is bearing that wound just to save that lamb. This simple explanation is enough for us to describe this question, that why would God send His only Son for us? Now what about Mary, Mother Mary and Jesus with emotions? I kept some of my sketches here with the same one, like this one. The Mary with baby Jesus and on the other side Mary Jesus when He died. Now what about this one? Mother Mary on that side, she is pregnant. Then in this side, Mother Mary with baby Jesus, and in the center, Mother Mary with the Jesus who died. Now I will take you to another two. What about, let's go to America, all of us together right now, because I'm going to show you, going to take you to a virtual tour. Now, this is an Orthodox church, and I will tell you how exactly it is it's going on. See, the whole church is covered with icons. The whole church. See? Now, can you see in the dome there is Christ the Pentecostal, and followed by there is a circle, right? That's the circle of all the prophets. Then followed by there is another circle. That's the circle of the evangelists, the four evangelists on four corners. Then followed by there is a story of the Old Testament. Then followed by there is a story of the New Testament. Then followed by there is a group of all the disciples. And at the end, you will find the chairs. Why? Because you are also in that community. That's the beauty of Orthodoxy, that we believe in a community of believers. We pray in a community. Okay, that's all. There are so many things that I wanted to share with you, and as I said, that it's very hard for me to describe everything about icon in short time constraint.